Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking about terminal groins in North Carolina, how long, low structures typically built at the terminus of an inlet to slow erosion could be used as coastal management tools, and why environmental advocates oppose the use of them. With us in the studio today, Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation and Mayor Debbie Smith of Ocean Isle Beach, possibly the second beach community in the state to get a permit for a terminal groin. You're invited to join our discussion. Do you have a question or a comment for our guests? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And we have Casey from Wilmington on the line. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Regarding your discussion here, honestly, I grew up on Long Island. My dad was worked for the state of New York Department of Environmental Conservation, and his role for many years in the 60s or into the early 70s was purchasing rock in New Jersey, transporting it up to Long Island and building jetties and groins. And I've been involved in this process, you know, through my dad, you know, for a number of years. You know, his concept after it was all over with was, well, you know, it really didn't do much to preserve the beach because it, you know, took away from one place and put it somewhere else. You know, that discussion you can have all by yourselves. That's great. My point being, what I understand is that, you know, if you can afford to build a house on wherever it is, on a barrier island, when that thing gets washed away, oftentimes it's taxpayers, the federal government insurance people that are picking up the tab to replace those homes.
Debbie, and let's give Debbie Smith, the mayor of Ocean Isle Beach, a chance to respond to that point. Is it taxpayers picking up the tabs to deal with the fallout from this?
No, these homes are privately insured. There is a FEMA flood program. It's a government program that offers flood insurance that the private market does not. That is not cheap. That is very limited coverage. You can't get more than $250,000 on a structure, no matter what the structure size is. If it's a residential structure, you can get a little bit larger up on a commercial structure. But so no, it's not the taxpayers. It's the homeowners. It's the local communities. You know.
But the FEMA money you're talking about is federal taxpayer money.
Well,
for
catastrophic events, yes, FEMA does come in and spend money, but they also come in and spend money where there's wildfires, where there's tornadoes, where there's a natural disaster anywhere. So they spend that same money.
Well, you could say that, but I'm looking at it like you put a house in a barrier island and it gets washed away. Taxpayers come in and put up $250,000. Okay, it's the taxpayers paying it. It's not the homeowners paying it.
Well, Casey, are we talking about two different kinds of events here? With terminal groins, you're talking about trying to manage erosion. You are talking about an event like a hurricane coming through and blowing a house down or flooding a house completely. Correct?
Well,
those are two different scenarios. Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation?
Let me just give you some examples. A terminal groin is going to have to be paid by the taxpayers, and they can't use general obligation bonds. There's very specific ways you have to pay for it. But let's talk about the two terminal groins that are in North Carolina, at Fort Macon and at Pea Island, which a lot of proponents of terminal groins said these are successes. At Pea Island National, at Oregon Inlet, from 1990 to 2004, over 7 million cubic yards of sand was put on the beach at Pea Island. The actual cost of that was over $16 million. In 2009 dollars, that's $20 million. At Fort Macon, the so-called successful terminal groin, from 73 to 2007, they put over 13 million cubic yards of sand behind that terminal groin at a cost of $26 million. In 2009 dollars, that's $44 million. So terminal groins don't solve the problem of beach erosion. What they do is cause the communities to have a false sense of security. What we need is a long-term look beyond our nose, not a Band-Aid approach to our coastal management and how where we allow people to build houses, where we allow houses to be insured. The United States Army Corps of Engineers Coastal Engineering Manual describes groins as probably the most misused and improperly designed of all coastal structures. Over the course of some time interval, accretion causes a positive increase in beach width updrift of the groin. Conservation of sand mass therefore produces erosion and a decrease in beach width on the downdrift side of the groin. The other thing these groins do is move the sand bypass out beyond the terminus of the groin. So instead of coming down the beach where it naturally does, it's moved outside. In the draft EIS, there's no modeling of the leakage rate of what they call these terminal groin. There's no modeling of large storms. And the modeling is only done projected for 3 years. But the cost estimates in this document on the impacts, both beneficial and detrimental economic cost, are modeled for 30 years. The reason they don't model it for 30 years is they don't like the answers they get with the modeling of what would happen to the coast.
Let's give Mayor Debbie Smith a chance to respond.
I believe that's a little inaccurate information over the groins that exist in North Carolina. Those groins were built for specific purposes.
And you're talking about Pea Island.
Talking about Pea Island and the Fort Macon.
Yes.
The one at Pea Island was constructed to anchor the base of the Bonner Bridge. That inlet has been dredged to open up the inlet that has nothing to do with the groin. The inlet fills in tremendously fast. There's a large fishing fleet up there. So that's why there's so much dredging there. And a lot of that dredging is actually done by Harper dredges and it's not always put on the beach. The dredging and all those cubic yards of material that have been dredged at Fort Macon is to keep the port at Morehead City open for the boats to be able to come up there. That terminal groin was built to protect a historic port, and it has been very successful and has done that. And there has been some sort of groin there since the 1800s to protect that port. So that's slightly misstatement about the volumes that have been pulled out of there for to protect the beaches and the groins. You are right about the downdrift, but these are terminal groins. They're at the terminus end of an island. So any holding of sand or any sand that is not left to move will not be falling back into the inlet, which is a win-win because it helps your navigation as well as it protects your shoreline.
Who will wind up paying for the construction and the project of putting in the terminal groin? There's a sand fill project that comes along with that, correct? Who pays for that?
The property owners on Ocean Isle Beach.
Okay, so that's strictly a local endeavor financially.
It's a local endeavor, yes.
And Mike Giles, you look like you think that's not the end of the financial implication.
Well, the reason I brought up Pea Island and Fort Macon, and yes, they were those were the purposes of the groin. I was talking about the impacts of the groin. Right now, the Beaufort Inlet, is shoaled over. The groin is part of that problem. It stops the natural process of sand bypass. Those figures that I quoted were sand put on the beach, came from Diener. Those figures are correct. And Debbie brought up a point I'd like to make. In the state law says a terminal groin, the definition is Senate Bill 151, the definition of terminal groin, one or more structures at the terminus of an island. If you look at the plan for the proposed plan for Figure 8 and the proposed plan for Ocean Isle Beach, I would challenge whether those proposed site locations of those terminal groins are at the end, the terminus of an island. Terminus means an end point, the end of a travel route, the end of something. Currently, those proposed terminal groins at Figure 8 and Ocean Isle Beach are not at the end of the island.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about terminal groins as a tool for shoreline management, why environmental advocates oppose them, and what beach communities stand to lose without them. With us to answer your questions are Mayor Debbie Smith of Ocean Isle Beach and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. And Robert writes, after large storms having seen hundreds of tires washed ashore that were cabled together and placed miles offshore to make artificial reefs, I wonder how durable these, and he puts in quotation marks, baby jetty terminal groins will be. Will we see rubble strewn all over the shop? Mayor Smith.
I don't believe so, but, you know, none of us can really predict what Mother Nature may do. And a severe hurricane can do things that none of us can predict.
And this is really an experimental program that the state legislature put in place in 2011. This is something that no one really knows how it's going to go, which is why they said, let's start with four, see how those do, see what the implications are, and then if we move on from there, we will.
I think there was enough evidence that made them allow these structures that they thought they were going to work, just as the local coastal communities think they will work, as they have in many coastal communities. And the side of caution, yes, they did limit the number until, you know, they were tried and true in this area of North Carolina. But, you know, we do have two that have been there and have been successful for many, many years. And the one at Oregon Inlet has probably been the most studied terminal groin ever anywhere, because State University has studied it for 20 years.
And we didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Casey, but he wanted to add that there's starting to be serious erosion just north of Fort Fisher. It's an example of the slippery slope. That community is going to want a terminal groin, too. Where the ocean meets the shore, it's called the beach. People might not like it, but that's how it is. Debbie Smith, I'm sure you've heard that argument quite a bit. I'm sure you've heard people say, why are you even building at the beach? What do you say to that?
I believe almost half of the population in the United States now lives within 200 miles of the coast, of all of our coast. Kind of says to me that that's where people want to be.
Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation, why does Bald Head Island get a pass from the Coastal Federation on this?
Well, I'm going to conflict with your statement. They did not get a pass. We submitted detailed analytical critical comments on that groin. In fact, we were the only non-governmental agency or organization that submitted comments. Some of those comments were incorporated. Some of the ideas were incorporated on the project. Because of where that groin is proposed, it's an entrance to the Cape Fear River Inlet shipping channel. It's dredged 42 feet, proposed to dredge even deeper. It has a huge effect upon Bald Island. It's got a huge economic effect on the state of North Carolina. What we, after we submitted our critical comments, we said we're going to stand on those and let the Corps and the applicant decide what of our comments or concerns that they would address, and then we're going to let it get permitted and see what happens.
What do you mean by that?
We're going to see how it performs. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a different groin. It's a different shape. It's a different. It's not at one of these shallow water inlets that we have predominantly up and down the southeastern North Carolina coast. It's a very different animal. We're going to wait and see what the performance is, and we can apply that performance to the other if any other ones get permitted, or if they don't. That's information we use on how these groins perform on our coast.
There seems to be a lot of debate about success and failure of these structures. People seem to have different ideas about what that even means. In a recent article about Figure 8's bid for a terminal groin, the Audubon Society called terminal groins a known failed technology. If that was true, Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation, why would beach communities even seek to use them as shoreline management tools?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not sympathetic to some people that have houses at the end of these islands. But, you know, when you build on the coast, especially at the ends of these islands where the environment and is so volatile, you're taking a risk. And what we're concerned about is trying to mitigate that risk with hardened structures that will prove harmful to the natural systems, the dynamics of natural inlets, to our barrier island systems, and to the wildlife and fisheries. You know, all they want to put this terminal groin on public trust land and in public trust water. So it's in yours and I's water. It's not on private property. The one thing that they brought up at the draft EIS public hearing is their consultant, Tom Jarrett, I've known him for years. He said, we also have an anchor, shoreline anchorage for this terminal groin. That's to prevent the erosion from coming around the backside. Well, that tells me that they don't know what's going to happen at that inlet. If they think that it might erode all the spit north of the proposed terminal groin and erode and cause erosion behind the structure itself, again, that tells me that all this scientific, I'm not even going to call it scientific, numerical predictions, they don't know what's going to happen. And that's a concern.
Let's talk about what this process is, Debbie Smith with Ocean Isle Beach. We're throwing around some jargon here, and I want to be a little careful about that. We said EIS. Mike Giles has referred to the draft environmental impact statement. Where is Ocean Isle Beach right now in the process of seeking this permit?
Our draft environmental impact statement has been published, and I believe the comment period closes on that next week or late
March,
next week.
March 16th.
Yeah.
Okay, mid-March.
Mm-hmm. So after that, there, you know, if there's relevant comments that need to be addressed, they'll be addressed in that draft EIS. The Corps will approve it, and then comes out the final environmental impact statement.
And what is the environmental impact statement? What does that do? What is its purpose?
It's a study that predicts what's anticipated to happen with the groin that's built. It talks about the impacts to the environment, to the everything that lives in the marshes, the fish, the sea turtles, the crustaceans on the beach. It addressed all of those shorebirds. And, you know, those inlet spits that Mike mentioned are past our terminal groin change monthly. They do fluctuate. So it is as close to the end of the island as it can possibly be put. They come and they go season to season, week to week.
Mike, what are some of the specific concerns that the Coastal Federation has about the terminal groin at Ocean Isle Beach? Are there specific species that you think would be threatened?
The concerns we have with the draft environmental impact statement, let me just start with the beginning. When the Corps engages with an applicant, the applicant hires a consultant to draft that impact statement for them. The Corps does not draft it. Then the Corps, trying to be middle ground, they hire what's called a third-party reviewer, and that third-party reviewer reviews this impact statement and gives comment to the Corps. The problem with this one and at Figure 8 is the consultant that was hired by the town to draft the impact statement is also the third-party reviewer. We have a big problem with that. How can they be objective when they're the applicant's consultant? What happens then? The Corps puts together a stakeholder team. We were on that stakeholder team called a project review team. Very quickly, we had one meeting. That's all. And they were supposed to have more than one. Guaranteed we'd have a second one to talk about the modeling. It never happens.
What kinds of stakeholders are involved in that
team? All the
team?
State and federal agencies, some environmental groups, and interested citizens. So they never had a second meeting. So we never got to look at the modeling before the draft EIS was put out. In the Council on Environmental Quality by the National Environmental Policy Act, they say that if there's endangered species involved in a project, Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, has to consult with the applicant. And it says in that as early as possible in the draft EIS. That consultation has never taken place yet.
So that hasn't been part of the draft EIS.
It hasn't. So the public doesn't have all the information, neither does all the regulatory agencies, to make informed decisions and informed comments.
And Mayor Debbie Smith, we're about to go to break, but when we come back, I promise you'll have a chance to respond. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about managing erosion in beach communities using terminal groins. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline.